This morning's gospel gives us a twofold invitation to consider what it means to live a life of faith. And we kind of walk into that proposition, that invitation, through the first reading that we get from the prophet Isaiah, when God speaks to Isaiah and then through Isaiah, of course, to each of us. And he says to this of his prophet, God says, "The Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb." And he says, not only this, but the Lord said that it is too little for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. No, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The revelation that God gives to Isaiah and that God gives to each of us is the plan that he has formed for us while we were yet in our mother's womb. And in fact, that he says elsewhere in the prophet, in the book of Jeremiah, that even before I formed you in the womb, that I knew you. God from all eternity has thought up his plan for us, his mission for us, has our identity already squared away. And when John the Baptist comes upon the scene, he comes to prepare the way for the one who reveals this to us most fully. But what's interesting for us this morning to consider as we listen to this morning's gospel passage is we see that there is two sides to that coin of identity and mission, two sides of the coin of God's plan for us, how God has formed us for himself. And it is written to us this morning in the way of the two baptisms. John the Baptist, of course, the one who comes to reveal that the Messiah has come, proclaimed a baptism of repentance through water. This is what John did, baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. But he himself said that there is another baptism that is to be received, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we're really familiar with the first one. Most of us, perhaps the vast majority of us, received our baptism before we even knew that we were alive. Most of us were infants. I was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 months old when I was baptized. So we already have that word in one of our sacraments, the baptism of water, the baptism of the cleansing from sin, being brought fully into God's family as his son, as his daughter, seeing our identity as shaped by his grace and not by the brokenness of humankind, of the human race. But there is a second baptism, not of water. There's the second baptism of fire, which we also all undergo. And as Catholics, we say that this comes fully in the sacrament of confirmation, the baptism of fire, which Jesus came to give to the world. So good for us to consider baptism just for a second and think about what that's supposed to mean. Now, interestingly, the English word baptism comes from a Greek verb, baptizo. And in the ancient language of Greek at that time, amongst other things, the word baptizo was a cooking term. Here's a cooking term. Baptism is what happened when you took a cucumber and put it in vinegar to make it a pickle. Baptism was what you did to a cucumber to make it a pickle. Now, what you do when you take a cucumber and put it in the vinegar is you don't simply dunk it, you actually have to soak it. This is the meaning of baptism. To be drenched in such a way that you are soaked through. Or modern English, baptism means waterlogged. To be changed in such a way that you are on the inside different. Now here's what's interesting. Right, to be pickled changes you, but it doesn't. When you put a cucumber in vinegar and let it soak, it comes out different in a way that it can't go back to what it was formerly. But it still is the thing that it is. You don't pickle a cucumber and it come out a carrot. That's just right. It's not something different, but it's changed. It's changed irrevocably. It looks different. It tastes different. That's baptism. So really what that means is that if we were all supposed to do baptism right, what really should have happened is when you were baptized, they put you in the water till your skin wrinkle, right? That's when we're baptized, we sort of get doused with water, but its true significance means to be soaked, to be drenched all the way through. That's baptism. So now every time you think about that word, you're going to think of pickles. Every time you look at a pickle, you're going to think about baptism. So you're welcome. This is what baptism does in us. And Jesus says, for you and for me, it's twofold. It's a baptism of water and it's a baptism of fire. And what they do is they accomplish to us two sides of the same coin. The water of baptism takes us away from the evil that we are subject to, right? That we're born into, the incompleteness, the woundedness that we get by virtue of being a human being. Baptism takes us away from, removes us from evil, soaks us in grace, changes us from the inside. But that is not the only conversion that happens in our life. We're not simply converted away from evil. We also are converted towards something that needs to fill its place, which is the baptism of fire. And the baptism of fire is what orients us and fills us with the grace so that we can be on the mission that God gave to us in our mommy's womb. Before we knew that we were alive, even then we were called, even then we were chosen, even then there was something that God gave us to accomplish that no one else could ever accomplish. And what God gives us to accomplish is something that if we're honest with ourselves and we're living an honest Christian life, we know very quickly that we have a mission that we're unable to complete on our own. And for me, with a little bit of levity, this is most definitely one of the most annoying parts of being a Christian. Now, what I mean is, we wake up in the morning, my experience, more often than not, is waking up in the morning and thinking to myself, God, why couldn't you just give me a mission that I was capable of? Why did you have to give me a mission that I can't do? That's sort of like an experience of a baptism of fire. To know that we have a mission that is beyond our capacity. And so this is kind of how we experience these two realities. God's grace in us in respect of evil changes me so that I can no longer look at evil the same way. It's like an idea. Once it's placed in your mind, you can ignore it. You can try and suppress it. But you can't, it's very hard to forget. We can't unknow a thing once we know it. It's like toothpaste out of the tube. Can't put it back in the tube. And so the baptism of water, right, changes our minds, changes our hearts in respect to evil so that we are dissatisfied with any evil that's in our life. But the baptism of fire also does this sort of service of dissatisfaction. Sometimes we'll say service of annoyance, right? Where in our lives, we become dissatisfied simply by the status quo, where the Holy Spirit changes our vision, changes our minds, changes our hearts, so that we look upon our life and we say, oh, there's something that's not enough. There's more to be done. There's a different kind of wish. It's when we begin to say, if only X, Y, or Z, or I just wish that X, Y, Z. Or we dream, oh, it would be amazing if this would just X, Y, Z. And that's like, that kind of desire brings a discomfort to us because it shows us something that is yet to be accomplished that's not yet in the world. So the Lord on this first Sunday in ordinary time, it's the second Sunday in ordinary time, but it's the first green Sunday, so we'll call it something in respect of, right? We come back to the ordered weeks of the year, after the celebration of our great feast of Advent and Christmas in this new liturgical year. And the first gospel we hear is the story that unfolds our mission before us, which is a twofold: to be separated from evil and to be attached to the supernatural. So think about, it gives new insight into the grace that you have and the grace that I have. To be baptized by water, perhaps even more interestingly, to be baptized by fire, to be soaked, to be drenched, to be waterlogged by fire, so that we are never the same again. We can't go back to what we were. Just as impossible as it is for a pickle to become a cucumber again. Can't happen. So also in our Christian life, Jesus comes to do both these works within us. And the more that we are able to see this in our own lives and recognize all those places in our daily walk where we see God calling us to step further away from what hinders us and to step further towards what empowers us, both in the emotions that are consoling and desolate, right? Even in the emotions that make us not feel good and in the emotions that make us feel good, right? Both of those can reveal to us the grace that God is doing. The more that we're able to recognize that in our life and be convinced that, no, I've been made for this. I've been made for something that no one else has been made for. And God thought that up before I was in my mother's womb. And if I see that in my life, I much more easily see that in the lives of everybody that I look upon who has a completely unique gift given to them as well. That's why this gospel is very appropriate and, we'll say, timely this week on Wednesday, January 22nd, when we celebrate a specific life for the protection of the unborn. And I'd be, like last year, able this year to travel with our students in a bus down to D.C. for the March for Life, knowing that God's gift is for each of us and that we have to be able not only to hold that in our hearts, but to be able to defend that for all peoples, especially those who are most vulnerable. We know typically which are those who are eldest among us and those who are youngest among us. It is our job to bring the grace of Christ into the world so that through us, their missions too may be completed, whether that mission is nearing its completion or whether that mission hasn't even yet begun. This day is a beautiful Sunday to be reminded of these beautiful truths. Be pickled. Be baptized.